Morena, e ho ma. Good morning, my friends. Good morning. Good morning. Hello. I found preparing this morning's message very daunting. I never find preparing the message easy. But this morning's message has been particularly challenging because it's made me look seriously at my own faith and how I live that out. It's actually been very confronting. With these words, "There men will weep and gnash their teeth," we come to the end of Matthew 24, quite a long chapter, in which Jesus has laid out before his disciples some pretty shattering images of the end of the age. The disciples, Jesus warns, need to be on their guard. They need to be always ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when they're not expecting him. And as for the disciples, so there is the same warning for us. Wait and watch. But is that all? Like me, might sit and wait for a bus? No, Jesus spells out in four parables what it means to wait and to watch. That is not just a period of waiting and watching, but a productive period, a period of continuing active service. And each of these parables deals with a particular aspect of Christian behavior. As with all the parables Jesus shared, the imagery this morning is clear both practically and spiritually. A master goes away and he leaves his servants to carry on the work while he's away. Over them, he sets one whose task it is to oversee the work, to make sure it continues productively, to ensure there is no loss to the master, but also to care for the other workers. He is specifically, as we read, to give them their food at the proper time. The scripture calls him a servant. In Israel, he would have been a slave. We might call him a manager, but perhaps a better word we might use might be a steward. It's a word derived from the Old English, and it means one who cares for. Not just one who worked serving food and drinks as we use the word steward these days, but one who in ancient times supervised the lord of the master's estate and household. It was a very responsible task with a lot of delegated authority, a lot of power. And an account of which the steward had to report to his master on his return. Much is required of the person to whom much is given, it says in Luke. In the parable, the master is delayed. One steward fills his duties faithfully and is greatly rewarded. The other gets tired of waiting. He abuses his authority and he suffers the consequences. As always in a parable, there are layers of meaning. First, at that time, a story about a master and his servant would have been understood as a story about God, the master, and Israel, his chosen people, the servant. God has left Israel with work to do, to be the faithful and sensible servant. Israel is unfaithful, especially in relation to her rejection of Christ the Messiah. The spiritual leadership of Israel, the kings and the priesthood, had been unfaithful. They had ignored the warnings of the prophets and gone their own way. They'd failed to care for and to feed the flock spiritually. They had become hypocrites, saying one thing, doing another. And Israel would pay the price. At another level, there is a message for the disciples gathered around Jesus on the Mount of Olives. Jesus is going to leave them with work to do. The gospel must be announced to all the nations. Some will have responsibilities within and for the young and struggling Christian community. Will they accept those responsibilities? Will they be wise stewards of what and who Jesus entrusts to them? Or will they, perhaps expecting his early return, grow tired of waiting, fail in their responsibilities and begin to abuse their power? Some, you will remember, have already considered their relationship with Jesus as earning them the right to a special place in his kingdom. So how will they wait? The reading today speaks not only of a servant who is faithful, but that he is also wise, making the right decisions based on good information, knowing what is the correct thing to do, and then faithfully doing it. Which of the two servants are we? Do we believe that Jesus will return, and so live every day with an awareness of that by actively preparing for his coming back, by carrying out the tasks he has left us to do? The work that he entrusted to the disciples on the Mount of Olives and illustrated in this parable is the same as for his disciples today. That's us. To share the gospel, to care for and feed the members of the household, so that each member of that household in turn may continue to be productive in their service. It's a challenging task, a rewarding task. Challenging in that we need to be equipped to serve, digging deep into the word, reflecting on what it says, seeking clarity and confirmation, so that in turn we may share in a meaningful way. Committed to passing on his teaching and those of scripture to those in need, but also, like the wise servant, using the word to inform our lives and deeds, being wise so that we can be faithful. But sharing not only by word, but by our daily lives, seeking to imitate the life of our Lord and Master, daily living out the hope we have in such a way that others want to know why. Delighting in meeting together, sharing our joys and sorrows, and actively seeking to encourage and help those in need, whoever they are, whatever that need may be, wherever they are. A caring people, a selfless people, willing to sacrifice time, effort, resources to further God's work here on earth in Whangarei as we wait expectantly for the return of Jesus. It's a big ask. It's a challenging task. But what a reward, not only in carrying out his work here on earth, but as it says in today's reading, to be set over all his possessions. Let's pause for a moment and take in just what that means. To access, as Paul writes, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Just think about all that means. Which of the two servants are we? Do we believe Jesus will return? Or has that belief faded? For us personally, as it has for many Christians, a survey of members of the Episcopal Church in the United States revealed that only 24% believe that Jesus will return. That's a quarter. It's a level of unbelief which leads to unwise decisions and to a church which is in danger of leading its flock astray. We know what Scripture, through the power of the Holy Spirit, says to us. We know the truth. But are we wise enough to follow its message? Perhaps we've grown tired of waiting, as we have been warned earlier in Matthew 24. Perhaps turned away from the faith and allowed our love to grow cold. Not only our love for Christ, but for our fellow believers and for his creation, that over which God gave Adam stewardship. Perhaps we've turned away, not deliberately, but gradually, almost unconsciously. Have we lost our hope, our joy in knowing Jesus personally as we once did? Do we still have that hunger for Scripture and our passion for sharing our faith we once had? Or has it faded? It's too easy for the world to wear us down, to tempt us to think only of ourselves, to run our personal agendas rather than the Lord's, to become overly critical and judgmental of Scripture, of our fellow believers, of church itself, so that we no longer actively and passionately carry out his work here on earth as we wait for his return. And in return, neglect to care for and feed by word and deed those of the household of faith entrusted to our care. Have we allowed our spiritual faith, our spiritual life, to become regimented and routine, focused on doing stuff instead of being focused on Christ, so that our faith has become a series of activities, like some drama in which we are the actors, simply playing a part? Jesus identified the Sadducees and the Pharisees as hypocrites, a word which just means that, acting out a part. Have we become like them? Christians are hypocrites. It's an accusation the world often levels against believers. Is there an element of truth in that? The word hypocrites occurs in nearly all the translations of the punishment handed out the unfaithful and foolish servant. We heard it this morning. To be put with the hypocrites where they will weep and gnash their teeth, cast out forever from the presence of God. Conscious of and eternally regretting their folly. Is that our future? Which of the two stewards are we? Which am I? What sort of an account of my stewardship will I give the Master when he returns? Luke 12:48 goes on and says, much more is required from the person to whom much more is given. It's a short passage, 7 verses, but it has a powerful message, a confronting one. A reminder of one of the fundamentals of our faith. Christ has foretold his return when he will judge the quick and the dead. That's what he's promised. That's what he'll do. Until he comes, we hold fast to that. We live daily, hourly in the expectation of his return. And like the faithful servant, we work joyfully, wisely, faithfully towards that. Serving him is reward enough. The great missionary to China and Africa, C.T. Studd, summed up the truth in a very simple couplet. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. God bless you.